Your hometown newspaper of the air brings you What's Doing in Western Michigan. What's Doing in Western Michigan, a transcribed roundup of the news and views of the cities, towns, and countryside of Western Michigan. Your reporter, Willis Dunbar.
Good afternoon. This is the time of year when the thoughts of high school seniors turn to graduation and to college and to careers. In most of the towns throughout Western Michigan, the alumni associations of the high schools keep quite complete records of the whereabouts of graduates for many years past. The Alumni Association at Greenville High School seems to be the oldest from the standpoint of continuous operation. The Greenville Daily News reported that last week that the association was planning for its 60th annual alumni banquet. Even though the Greenville folks may be missing a few names here and there, the fact that they have observed the annual alumni celebration for six decades is certainly an outstanding record. The people of Greenville were shocked last week to hear of the death of one of the town's outstanding citizens. Mrs. Herman Cook, wife of the president of the Greenville Chamber of Commerce, was killed in an automobile accident near Greenville Monday afternoon. Mrs. Cook was well known in the town for her social activities. Her husband was seriously injured in the same accident. Well, the people of Holland are taking it a little easier today. The many months of work and effort which went into the preparations for the annual Tulip Festival reached a climax this week. Huge throngs of out-of-town visitors came to Holland for the annual event, which lasted 4 days. Despite the fact that rain interfered with part of the program, the festival was declared a success. The Holland Evening Sentinel went all out for the occasion. Instead of the usual edition on Wednesday, the Sentinel came out with a 48-page number, with stories on every phase of the affair. The 48-page special was the 9th annual festival edition put out by the Sentinel. Civic-minded residents of South Haven demonstrated that a little work will go a long way toward improving a city. Up to a short time ago, South Haven was ashamed of the unsightly dump which was located near the middle of the downtown district. The South Haven Daily Tribune reported last week that the dump is being converted into a beautiful park with only a small expenditure of money. To start the ball rolling, the city appropriated $400, and then local businessmen contributed another $150. City Street Department equipment was used to transport sand from one of the beaches near South Haven, and the former eyesore was transformed into an area known as Morning Glory Park. Eventually, the area will be landscaped and will be used both as a park and a free parking lot. The Tribune also reported that Mayor Charles Tate had received many favorable comments on the facelifting job. Wednesday's edition of the paper carried a five-column picture of the trucks bringing sand to the park. At the same time, the Tribune reported that Spring Cleanup Week is in progress in South Haven. If the excellent work done by South Haven citizens on the Morning Glory Park project is any criterion, the cleanup campaign certainly should be a real success. The high school youngsters in Allegan got a chance to run the city government for a day last week. The Allegan Gazette reported that the city should have some very efficient government if there is any truth in the old adage that two heads are better than one. Don Weston was named mayor for the day, and Jerry Stone worked with the city manager. Pawpaw may join the growing list of cities which use parking meters to help in solving the parking problem. The Pawpaw Courier-Northerner reported that a committee from the local Chamber of Commerce visited South Haven and Dowagiac, where meters recently have been installed. The important feature of their report was that the merchants in those two towns, who had opposed the meters at first, now are enthusiastic over them. The Courier-Northerner also reported that civic leaders in Pawpaw are interested in the possibility of incorporating Pawpaw as a city. It's now a village. A complete report on the idea will be prepared by a Chamber of Commerce committee. The construction of new school buildings is an issue which seems to attract a great deal of attention throughout Western Michigan. In Allegan, the Allegan News reports that the Junior Chamber of Commerce is instituting a campaign to secure registrations for a special school election to be held on June 3rd. The campaign won't be over when the registrations are done. There's still the work of campaigning for yes votes on the school issue. Propositions on the ballot ask for a bond issue of $600,000 and an increase in tax millage for school purposes. A proposal to build a new elementary school in Nashville was defeated in a special election Friday afternoon last week. The Hastings Banner reported in its Thursday edition that a large turnout was expected at the election. The issue was defeated by a substantial margin. Despite the fact that the new school building won't be built, Nashville residents are going ahead with their campaign to provide the school with a lighted football field. To raise money for the lights, the town and the surrounding area sponsored a community auction sale. All of the articles were donated to the drive, and all profits will be used for the lights. At this rate, it shouldn't be too long before the project is complete. And now for some of the stories in the news, here's my colleague, Harry Travis.
The town of Three Rivers isn't paying any attention to the Indianapolis Speedway races on Memorial Day this year. They have their own speed contest scheduled for the following day. The occasion is the Turtle Derby, sponsored by the Lions Club and the Junior Chamber of Commerce. The race will be held on the high school field Tuesday afternoon. So far, over 175 turtles have been entered in the race. Each turtle will be managed by some youngster between the ages of 6 and 12. When the event is all over, the proceeds will go to a worthy cause, to purchase microfilm equipment for the use of bedridden persons who would otherwise be unable to read. The Three Rivers Commercial reported that the interest in this unique event has been running very high. Marcellus is preparing for the annual bluegill frolic, which will be held in June. In the current issue of the Marcellus News, entry blanks are provided for the use of girls who wish to enter in the Queen contest. The deadline for entries is June 3rd. Merle Defoe, editor of the Charlotte Republican Tribune, has found a new use for fireplaces. It seems that Mrs. Defoe thought she heard the sound of a baby crying one evening last week, and upon investigating, found that a mother raccoon had selected the fireplace as the place to have a litter of baby coons. 5 of the baby coons were uncovered at the time, another was found at a neighbor's place the next day, and a 7th was found in the fireplace the following morning. That means that there were 7 baby coons in that litter, which in itself is quite unusual. Merle Defoe, by the way, is distantly related to the late Dr. Alan Defoe, who delivered the famous Dion quintuplets. The Galesburg Argus recalled this week that high school graduation exercises have changed a great deal in the past 50 years. A Galesburg resident recently uncovered a program for the Galesburg commencement for 1899, just half a century ago. Back in those days, everyone in the class took an active part in the ceremony. In addition to the speeches by the outstanding students, there were quartets and vocal solos, Latin dialogues, recitations, and a total of 8 orations. Well, on this year's program, only 2 speeches were scheduled, and then they hand out the diplomas. Now, back to Dr. Dunbar.
The people of Lake Odessa have banded together to help the victim of a tragic accident. Chucky Myers, a youngster who lives in Lake Odessa, was critically burned in an accident a year ago. The accident claimed the lives of his father, Delbert Myers, and 2 other men. After a long and painful stay in the hospital, Chucky is back home, but he has lost both of his hands. The Lake Odessa Wave has cooperated with many stories about Chucky's plight, and so has the Hastings Banner. Together, they have given publicity to the campaign to help this crippled youngster. The eventual aim is to establish a trust fund to provide for his future, and so far, the public's response has been most generous. A senior at Charlotte High School got a real surprise the other day when he reached for what he thought was a $100 bill and found that he had a $1,000 bill in his possession. The Charlotte Republican Tribune reported that James Lowen recovered from the surprise sufficiently to remember that he must have gotten the bill when he withdrew some money from a local bank. So he took the $1,000 note back and exchanged it for a $100 bill. Well, the bank certainly now has no question as to the honesty of James Lowen. The Sturgis Journal had good news for Sturgis taxpayers last week. The city succeeded in obtaining a new contract for the supply of fuel oil, which is expected to save the city about $7,500 a year. In these days of high prices and increased costs, that sounds like a very good bit of news to the people of Sturgis. The Belding Banner News this week recalled an incident which still is the subject of discussion in the Belding Lowell area. 17 years ago, 3 Detroit men robbed a Grand Rapids bank, and then they headed for Lowell. The ensuing manhunt lasted over a period of 2 days and took sheriff's officers and state police over many roads and through many parts of the county. After the residents of the area had been kept in a lot of suspense for 2 days, the men were finally captured and sentenced for murder and robbery. A recent application for parole by one of the murderers recalled the incident, and the Banner News printed a lengthy story of the memorable 2-day chase. Well, the Cedar Springs Clipper apparently believes in being informal in all the articles which appear in the paper. When the Clipper makes a mistake, the editors don't resort to the usual formal beg your pardon story. In last week's edition, the Clipper made amends for a mistake with the following lead sentence. Don't get mixed up just because the Clipper made a mistake in a headline last week. A major problem in Greenville seems to have been cleared up by a recent action by the town council. The Greenville Daily News reports that a zoning ordinance has finally been adopted by the town, thus solving a problem which has been bothering the council for many years. In addition, the city is going to adopt a new system of civic bookkeeping, another feature which has been needed for many years. A more efficient government in Greenville will probably result from these changes. And now, here's your announcer with late state news and a word about the weather. And that's what's doing in Western Michigan. We'll be back next Sunday afternoon at the same time, 12:15, with another transcribed edition of your hometown newspaper of the air and what's doing in Western Michigan.